Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is Pat Iyer, and welcome to Legal Nurse Podcasts. This is a series of podcasts specifically for legal nurse consultants to help you address some of the questions that come up in your businesses and in your LNC practices. I have with me Karen Kopp, who is the Chief Door Opener at Kopp Consulting. She has a door opener service that has helped thousands of business owners and salespeople secure initial meetings with high-level decision makers in almost every major company, including P&G, Pfizer, GE, Merck, Verizon, AT&T, Time Warner, Kraft, Target, CBS, and the list goes on. Karen and I have been connected for several years, at least going back through 2008, through the National Speakers Association, and Karen was one of the original members of the mastermind group that we formed in 2008. She has been dubbed the Chief Door Opener because she gets her clients in the door with their prospects. So today we'll talk about opening doors, and we'll also talk about closing. Many business owners and sellers say that when they're in front of the right decision maker, they close the sale most of the time. I can't get in front of enough prospects, which is certainly a thing that legal nurse consultants have struggled with. And Karen's team of senior business developers are known as the Kopp Door Openers. They find the opportunities and secure initial meetings for their clients. Karen is a best-selling author. She's nationally recognized as a speaker. She's an expert in business development, and her company was just named as one of the Inc. Magazine 5000. So, Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Hello, everyone.
Let's talk about how you got started in this field of client development. It's a fascinating niche of business activity.
Well, like almost every business that's out there, it was founded by an accident. It was 17 years ago, almost 18 years ago, I was in the locker room of a gym, and somebody called out, "Hey, I have a promotion agency. Does anybody want any part-time work?" And at the time, I had taken a year off to have my second child, and I was starting to think about what I was going to do when I re-entered the workforce. Was I going to get another job, or did I want to start a new venture? And I decided that I wanted to start a new venture, but I hadn't really thought about exactly what I was going to do. However, it would be in the world of business development, because that is my background, is consumer packaged goods, brand management, and business development. So I started to talk to this woman, and she wanted somebody who could work for her for a clerical rate. And I said to her, you know, I only have about 15 hours a week because my son is in nursery school, and I can't give up my free time for that. However, let's think of something I could do for you for a consulting rate. And then it came to me, this light bulb moment, and I said, how would it be if I got you in the door with your prospects for the first meeting? And the expression on her face was priceless, because she just dropped her jaw. And she said to me, you could do that? You would do that for me? And I said, yes, it's easy for me. I'm happy to do it. And I can get you in the door with the prospects you need to meet. And that's how the idea for Kopp Consulting and the door opener service came about. She didn't end up being my first client, interestingly, because as I was waiting for my son's nursery school to start, I was at the pool one day, and somebody I knew said, what are you going to do with all your free time now that your son's going to nursery school? And I said, I've had this business idea of getting my clients in the door with their prospects. And same reaction. He said, really? Can you do that for me? And he was my first client. My second client was at the kindergarten welcome lunch. Same conversation, same reaction. She was my second client. So as time went on, I filled up my time because I was working when the kids were in school. And when it came to having another client where I didn't have the hours to give, I had to make a decision on a first hire. Do I hire a low-level person and train them, manage them, onboard them, supervise them, and then replace them if they don't work out? Or do I hire someone who was very senior in business development like I was, hand that person a project, and that person would know exactly what to do, and therefore I wouldn't have to spend so much time on management and training? And because I didn't have enough time to do more than what I was doing, servicing my clients and hiring another person, I chose to hire the person who replaced me in my last business development job. And that became the business model. So we hire only senior level business developers. Each has a minimum of 10 years experience in business development. Most of them have held decision maker roles in corporations, and they are handed a project. They know exactly what to do, and they do that for our clients, and that is part of the secret for our success over the years. We now have 17 of those door openers, because I'm the chief door opener, so they're the door openers, and a couple of research people to help us prepare prospect lists, and a couple of admin people, and that is our team.
That's very impressive, Karen. Let's take this into the LNC world. Let me give you an example of what might happen and see what your thoughts are. An attorney calls a legal nurse consultant about a case. The attorney may call several legal nurse consultants as an effort to do some comparison shopping. The attorney says to the LNC, this is what the case is about. What would you charge? And then the LNC answers the question, and then the case doesn't come in. Now the LNC is trying to determine what happened and begins a system of telephone tag with the attorney. What can the LNC do to stop that rather futile process?
Okay, so there are probably two things that are happening as to the reason why they don't call back. I'm guessing, maybe three. The first one is they went with someone else. The second one is maybe they didn't end up needing an LNC, and tell me if I'm wrong on that. And the third one is that they're just so busy and they haven't had a minute to make a phone call back or write an email. That's what I'm guessing is the reason why they're not getting the calls back. So what I suggest is, first of all, preempt it. Let's see if we can preempt it. And what I'm thinking is, before discussing the case, before discussing the charges, talk about next steps. Ask a couple of questions like, should you feel that everything I say and that working together is going to be beneficial for you, what are the next steps that you see and the timing so I know how to follow up with you? And that will give the LNC some information. Is this imminent? Is it 2 months out, 3 months out? Is he or she not sure it's going to happen? So that'll give a little bit of that information. And then also what I'm looking for the LNC to do here is to get a date and time for the follow-up conversation. Even if it's just a 10-minute check-in call. If a call is not acceptable, it could be an email. Or you could ask if you could text. Can I go ahead and text you and find out where you are in your thinking on this? And that, I think, is going to preempt the long silence and the chase that inevitably goes on. If you can get somebody to commit to that, most people, if they commit to it, will honor it. and then they see it on their calendars, and they know that they have to have an answer for you when you contact them. Then, after you have the date and time, then go into the specifics of what the case is about and the fee structure and all of that. And then at the end, you can remind that person, okay, great, here's all the information. If you have any other questions, let me know. Let's connect with each other on email. Don't forget that part, because you want more than one way of being able to communicate with your prospect. So if that person called you, you're already connected by phone. Make sure you have the email address. Repeat it back for accuracy. Send that person a thank you note so you make sure that you're connected by email. And you can even ask for a cell phone number, and they may not give it to you, but ask for it, as sometimes that is an easier way to communicate with someone than even email. A lot of people tell me that they get over 100 emails a day. So text is a better way in some cases to make sure. So that is the way to preempt it. Now, if you already do that, and then you find that this person is not getting back to you, you can communicate by phone, communicate by email or text, and just because they know that you are going to get back in touch and that you're expecting an answer, to ask them to share with you where are you in your thinking. Is the case not ready yet? Have you selected someone else? If so, if you could share with me why, it would greatly help me. Or is there another reason why you're not getting back, you're swamped? And that would be my suggestion for the LNCs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are great tips. And it certainly would help our listeners immensely by using those tips to cut down on what can be a very frustrating aspect of the follow-up, just feeling like you're throwing a stone out into a pond and it sinks without any ripples. What happened? Why didn't that case come in? So that feedback and shortcutting that system would be very effective in reducing some of the frustration.
Right. And the other thing is to use a system of follow-up, and we will probably circle back on this subject a couple of times as we're talking to each other, because it's so important. Most people don't use a structured system of follow-up, whether it's a CRM or an Excel spreadsheet with a calendar or a plain old piece of paper. The best system to use is the one that you actually use and use consistently. Make sure that if you've called somebody, you emailed them on a Tuesday, you called and emailed maybe the following Tuesday, that you don't get busy with something else and it drops off, and then it falls into that big black hole of follow-up. Just because somebody hasn't called you back doesn't mean that they're not interested. A lot of people assume that, Pat, that they assume that if someone didn't get back, they're not interested or they went with someone else. But sometimes people just get busy or projects get delayed. Mm-hmm. But if you want to be top of mind, you need to have a structured system of follow-up so that when the money is on the table, you will be there to collect.
What do you see as the skills that are critical in being effective in getting your foot in the door?
I would say the three P's to begin with: persistence with patience without pissing someone off.
I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah, it's not necessarily skills. It's I think we should call it a mantra. It helps if you're interested in creating new relationships with people and you really want to help them. They may not be ready for your help just because you're ready to help them. And so you need to open up relationships with the right people, say the right things, and then be there time and time again, reminding people that you are available to help and to be a resource. So, you know, what are the skills? It's really being helpful. It's being mindful, respectful of people, being organized and methodical about your approach. Also, personalizing your approach is incredibly important. I had a chance to speak at a conference where the association was made up of 75% people who own small businesses trying to get in the door with the big Fortune 500 in pharma, and then 25% of big decision makers from the Fortune 500 in pharma. And I had a chance to talk to the decision makers ahead of the seminar I gave, and I said to them, this is your big chance. What do you want me to say to all of these vendors who are trying to get in the door with you? What do you want them to know? And they told me a couple key points, but one of them was so important. It really resonated because I think people do a bad job when it comes to this. They said that if these vendors want a relationship with me, they need to do their research and speak to me. Say something that matters to me, whether it's on the phone or whether it's on email. Don't send me an email that was meant for 1,000 other people. They don't like it. They feel it's disrespectful, and they know. As much as we try to personalize our email campaigns, they know when they've received an email meant for 999 other people, and they don't like it. They say, if you want a relationship, do your research and open up a new relationship with me. And I think that takes patience. That it just takes patience. Big new relationships and ongoing relationships don't happen overnight. And if for the people who think that they do, they're going to be disappointed because they're not going to get the results they want in the time frame that they want. But here's the point. It's not about the people trying to get in the door. It's not about that. It's about the people who have the need. That's the only thing that matters in this equation, is the person who has the need. And so, you know, I go back to those three P's: persistence, with patience, without pissing someone off. You know, give your prospects a break. They are people. This is a relationship. These people go to work for a reason. They have hopes, dreams, and desires. So how can what you do help make their lives better? And if you can communicate that, they will likely choose you when the time comes.
There's a buzzword that's very prevalent right now in marketing, which is market segmentation, which echoes what you're talking about, sending your message, contacting a specific attorney, knowing about that attorney's practice, who that attorney represents, what type of cases does that attorney handle, helps to tailor what the LNC is going to say.
Yes, and it will make a stronger, faster relationship as well. I mean, Target is a big part of this. The world is a big place, and there are many, 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 many attorneys. But not every attorney is probably right for every LNC, if I had to guess. Mm-hmm. There are certain, right, there are certain attorneys who deal with certain areas of the law that make their need for LNCs, or perhaps LNCs with certain areas of expertise, more important and ongoing. So if you could choose how you spend your time, would you rather spend your time getting in the door with an attorney who's going to have a need once, or would you rather spend the same amount of time getting in the door with an attorney who's going to need you 50 times? And you may be able to identify the attorneys who will likely have a need for you 50 times versus the ones who have a need once ahead of time. So when you think about who you're going to spend your time reaching out to with your phone calls and your emails, think about that targeting piece ahead of time. I would rather see people create a more narrow universe and do a great job creating relationships with the right universe than to blanket and pepper the wide where no relationships are created.
I wanted to ask you about cold calling. I know that term is familiar to our listeners. Cold calling is one concept. Warm calling is different. What's the difference between those two, and what are the myths that people have about them?
Well, one myth about cold calling is that it doesn't work. That's a real myth.
Yeah, I guess you can attest to that, Jen.
I can attest to that with 17 people who are doing this successfully for our clients. I mean, we have a client who recently closed a $1 million sale from a door we opened for her 3 years ago.
Mm. Nice.
At the time, he was the exact right decision maker. There was a budget, but the budget was being spent on something else. It's not that they didn't have a need, they just didn't have urgency. We want urgency plus need. That equals action. It used to be 3 years ago, 4 years ago, need equals action, no more. Now it's need plus urgency equals action. And so at the time, there was no urgency, but as time went on, my client did a wonderful job relationship building with this person. She kept in touch, not just the email check-in, which is like a check the box, but she did real relationship building. She was a resource for him. Even when he couldn't spend on her, she spent her time on him. Then when the project came up and it was $1 million on the table in an industry where it's very common to get three bids, he didn't go out and get three bids. He just gave the whole project $1 million right to her because she did the relationship building. If cold calling didn't work, she would never have met him. He would never have spent $1 million with her. So it does work, but here are some things to understand about cold calling. Different people have different definitions about what cold calling and warm calling is. So let's talk about what it is from my definition. Cold calling is not thinking about the people that you're contacting and just dialing and dialing and dialing mindlessly, leaving any old message for any old person and moving on. I remember years ago there was a cold calling company from the Philippines whose owner was talking to me and wanted to understand why we were successful and his people weren't. And he said to me, what do you do if you have a list of 1,000 people and you run out of people to call? And I said, why are you calling 1,000 people? Because you can't just call them once and expect to be successful. So that would be what I would think is cold calling. Now, that should never happen. What should happen is the relationship building piece of it that we talked about, creating a narrow group of people where any one of those people would be an incredible client for you. There's not one on the list that you're not drooling to get in to see. 100, 200. I'd rather see people do a good job with a small group, as I said before, than a bad job with a big group. So once you have that narrow group, then you have to say something that's incredibly compelling to these people. So compelling. I mean, think about these attorneys. They make their living maximizing billable hours. Well, the discussion with you is not billable. Right? So any time they spend with you is time that they are not making money. And so if you want to get a piece of that time, you have to say something that's so compelling that this person would knock three other people off their calendar to have a conversation with you. Think about what you're saying currently when you reach out to these attorneys. Is what you say that compelling? If it's not, I'm going to recommend thinking about your sales messaging. I have some tools on that that we could talk about at the end, that if people want them, it will help them to create better messages. And then after you create the message and you know what your answers for the objections are, because you have to know what your answers for the objections are before you start your outreach. People are going to have objections, and it's fair, but you have to know what to do, not just to overcome them, but you have to know what to do and say in a split second so that you can get to the next step and not be roadblocked. From there, you need to research the individual and the firm and maybe some of the clients that they service in order to personalize that message for the individual decision maker. Then you start your outreach. Then it's the call, it's the email, it's befriending the assistant. That is not what I would call warm calling, but that is the right way to do this direct, I would call it direct outreach. That is the right way to approach somebody you don't know to ask for either a meeting or a conference call to to talk about how you can help them and make their lives better. On the other side of the spectrum is warm calls. The way I would define a warm call is more of a referral. Someone knows that somebody else has a need for your services and has made, let's say, an email introduction, and now you have to reach out to that person. You still have to know what to say. You still have to know if that person is even a good prospect for you. That person may not even be a good prospect for you, not worth your time. But let's say they are, now you still have to do that outreach. I would say I would put that in the category of warm calling. I'm going to stop there and let you ask another question, because I could probably go on for about 3 days about this.
I can see, and I realize that we're going to very quickly run out of time, too, because we could explore many of those areas. Are there, in summary, some tips or tricks that you would recommend as being effective in reaching out to prospects?
Let's see. Where should we start? So many. Tips or tricks in reaching out. Okay, so we already talked about target, and we talked about the right message, and we talked about the answers for the objections. All of that has to be ready before you get started. And, of course, you either have to have your CRM, customer relationship management system, like a Salesforce or a Zoho, whatever it is, or an Excel spreadsheet. You know, this is your methodology for not losing track of where you are in your outreach. So that has to be set up before you start your outreach. Then once you start your outreach, lots of different tips and tricks and ideas. One of them is that people are plugged in on weekends. And if you send an email, even on a Sunday, and you let that person know that you're going to contact the assistant on Monday morning and ask for 15 minutes on the calendar, would they go ahead and approve the 15 minutes to the assistant when you call? And then the next morning at 9, which is Monday morning, you call the assistant and say, did Richard give you permission for to put 15 minutes on the calendar with me? We have a lot of success with that. Another thing people say to me is, how often do I leave a message? Is it a phone call? Is it an email? We start out with a phone call. You can start out with an email. It doesn't matter. But it's the phone call email combo. That's the important part. What we find is that the younger the seller, the more they like to hide behind email. And emails are tricky things, because even though you may be sending out 50 of them, your decision maker is only seeing one of yours, and it has to make an impact. Same thing with a voicemail, by the way. Has to make an impact. What is your subject line? Is it a good subject line? Is it not too salesy, not too personal, not too formal? You don't want to start out with a Dear Mr. Smith kind of thing. That is a red flag that says this is cold. This person has not done research. So use the first names. Don't write a long email. It's a couple of sentences max, and a clear call to action. If you're reaching out to the assistant and asking the assistant to help you to get a time on the calendar, which I highly recommend doing in addition to the outreach to the decision maker, make sure you put your ask in the first sentence. The person may not even read the rest of it. You could say, thank you for passing this information to June Smith, who might be the attorney. And so that person knows, even if he or she does not read beyond that first sentence, that that's what you want. Don't make them read a whole long email to get to what you want. I've also seen people write long emails and not be very clear about what they're asking someone to do. If somebody isn't clear, they won't do anything. So you must be clear as to what you're asking for. I could go on and on, Pat, but I want to give you a chance to maybe redirect and ask me different questions.
Well, I'm looking at the time, Karen, and I realize that we have had our full show time. Tell us about the names of your books and where people can get them.
So we have a bestseller. It's called Biz Dev Done Right, which is all about the blind spots in the sales process that people just can't see. And if you can't see it, you can't fix it. So thus the book. You can get that on Amazon. It became a bestseller in March, which we're very proud of.
Mm-hmm.
The second book is called The Path to the Cash, The Words You Need to Bypass Those Darn Prospect Objections. This you can get on my website, which is Kopp Consulting, K-O-P-P Consulting, USA.com. It's only sold on my website. And in this book, which is a more of a manual, are the answers to the top 10 objections that keep you from getting in the door. Like, I already have someone I work with, or I'm too busy to talk to you, or you're blocked by the assistant or the gatekeeper. All of the answers with the exact language that works, that's what's in that book. There's also a CD that they can get on the website, which is Every Word Matters. And this is how to create the message that will be impactful. Also sold on my site.
And I can certainly attest for the Path to the Cash and the CD, both of which I've purchased from Karen and found them to be incredibly helpful. I've also heard about this What to Do When program that you were telling us at our last Mastermind about. What is that program?
So the What to Do When series is a series of 20 audio tapes where each is 10 to 15 minute long that deals with very narrow challenge areas within sales. And people can order the series. It's $100 a month, where every month you get one of the audios so that you can work on certain things over time. And the audios include, for example, what to do when your prospect goes silent, which I know is a big issue for the people on this call, what to do when you need a better message, what to do when your prospect is working with someone else. And it keeps going on like that. There's 20 of them, all having to deal with issues around getting in the door, issues around closing the sale, issues around keeping the prospect engaged.
And how would people get more information about that program?
So they can reach out to us and ask through our website, KOPPConsultingUSA.com. As I said, K-O-P-P ConsultingUSA.com. Go to the Contact Us and just let us know that you're looking for information about the What to Do When series. And we will contact you and let you know how you can get that.
Well, Karen, I appreciate so much the time that you spent, your inspiring words about cold calling in particular, because that's an area that is challenging for many of the people who are listeners. They've been instructed how to do it as a way to build their businesses, and then they encounter obstacles. You've given us some tips on how to be better prepared for those calls and to structure them in a way that there's a higher chance of success. So I appreciate your expertise and what you've shared with us.
Well, you're very welcome. It was great to be here.
Thank you. And this has been Karen Kopp with Legal Nurse Podcast. Stay tuned, subscribe, leave a review on iTunes, and we'll see you on the next program. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.